Well, the school year begins in days, with some primary and secondary schools struggling to fill teacher vacancies. This is despite the latest information from the Ministry of Education forecasting an end to the teacher shortage for primary. The ministry's figures, which were released last November, suggested there were enough primary teachers to meet demand through to 2023, but ongoing issues for secondary schools. Well, with indications the supply of high school teachers would be 80 short this year, 30 short next year and 100 short in 2023, that from the ministry's figures. But what is the reality? We crunch the numbers with Auckland Primary Principals Association President Stephen Lethbridge, who's also the principal of Point Chevalier Primary. Morena, Stephen.
Morena.
Kia ora and welcome also to the Secondary Principals Association President Deirdre Shea, who's also the principal of Onehunga High School. Kia ora, koroa, and welcome, Deirdre.
Kia ora.
Can we begin, Stephen, with what's happening in primary? Because those numbers from the ministry were looking pretty optimistic. Is it as rosy as the ministry report suggested?
Yeah, I think we've got to be careful with the ministry data around the number of teachers available, especially in the Auckland region. The ministry are basing a lot of their data on the notion that primary age children role numbers are plateauing across the country, but we know that this is not the case in Auckland. Just in the last year, there was 1,500 more children in Auckland. So whilst there may be the right number of teachers at the moment across the country, we're still seeing some shortages in Auckland.
Have you surveyed recently? What's it looking like? Just, you know, next Monday for some schools and all by the following week, what's it looking like?
Yeah. Look, we're in the middle of consulting all of the schools in the Auckland region. So there's around over 420 primary and intermediate schools in the Auckland region. At the moment, we've got around a quarter of those that have responded to the survey, and 17% of those responded are still looking for teachers to start the year. And what's a little concerning is that 11 of those schools in the Auckland region are still looking for three or more teachers to start the year.
So just looking at that 25%, what's the actual number of teachers they're short?
It ranges, I'd say that we're looking at around 28 to 30 teaching positions from those that have responded.
And that's now, from a quarter, okay.
That's from a quarter of responses. Now, looking at the Teaching Gazette, where all jobs are advertised, that's a similar number that have been advertised in the Education Gazette for the Auckland region. So I would think that those schools that have responded are the ones that are in need of staffing.
So it's possible the other 75% aren't going too badly. Okay.
Quite possible.
What are the other questions you asked? Because I'm interested to see what's happening with supply. And we'll talk a little bit more about whether we've had people returning from overseas, whether we've had people returning to teaching because perhaps something else has happened in the household. But what are those you're surveying saying about, to be quite blunt, the calibre? Are they finding the people they want to find?
Look, people are more confident this time last year. So around 11% of those that we surveyed felt that they were in a worse position, or they had a bleaker outlook than at the same time last year. So, you know, 87% feel about the same. 89% feel about the same or more confident. So 38% of those that were surveyed feel a lot more confident in teacher supply. But that roughly means about half have a similar outlook to last year, and it would be fair to say that the outlook from last year was not that positive.
Is there any pattern in the schools that have vacancies?
Not that we can see. We gathered a whole lot of data around, we asked questions around decile, location, and there is no pattern. What we're finding is that there are high growth areas, and that's where a lot of the staffing is needed. But the big issue for Auckland is we are a really large place, and it can take an hour and a half to get from one side of the city to another. So that's meaning a teacher who may live in Te Tirangi may not want to drive across to the North Shore, or someone from Whangaparoa is not going to drive down to the Bombays to take up a position. So I think we need to have a look at some more granular data around local supply in smaller chunks in the Auckland region.
So it could be that although supply and demand apparently match, there can be other factors that mean that match isn't going to happen, like I'm not going to drive 2 hours to work.
Yes, yeah, that's quite true. And look, when you have a fair number of vacancies, teachers can work within 5 to 10 minutes of where they live. So that can have another impact on staffing places where rents are high, house prices are through the roof. So that can have an impact.
We were talking, I think, a couple of years ago, goodness me, about the impact of house prices on teachers and the risk of just an exodus from Auckland because they'd got out of reach. How much has there been a temporary salve because of returning Kiwis? Have they covered a lot of gaps?
Look, we've gathered a little bit of data around returning Kiwis. We get information saying that that on the immigration cards coming back into the country, the highest... The most popular occupation is teacher, but in those that have come back, we looked roughly at the numbers of the quarter of the people that responded to our survey. We don't see huge amounts of returning teachers coming back to the country taking up jobs. It's not in the hundreds in the Auckland region.
Are there people returning to teaching? And this is an interesting question because it's not a simple thing. It's the whole cost of registration. If for some there may be issues over retraining. But if you look even pre-COVID, was there any kind of a movement towards people wanting to return to the profession? What's the nature of supply at the moment?
Look, the confidence level is there with principals at the moment around it. They feel more confident that they will be able to meet supply. The big challenge that we have for schools, especially primary schools in the region, is that as our schools grow with more new entrants coming into the school throughout the year, trying to find experienced quality new entrant to take those classes is a challenge, and it has been a challenge for a number of years.
Are there some other areas, for example, Kura Kaupapa and bilingual immersion units? We know there's massive demand for te reo at adult education institutions. Is this another area where the demand is great, but have we got sufficient expertise?
That's been an ongoing issue for a number of schools. Kura Kaupapa Māori would be the best place to talk around starting Kura Kaupapa Māori and Kōhanga Reo, but the Māori medium units in schools and within the state sector, they are crying out for teachers who have the capacity to be able to deliver that type of education. So a number of our respondents are saying, this is our situation. It's really hard to staff our Māori immersion units, and also our Pacifica language immersion units are finding it hard as well.
Are you wary of the idea that some of these pressures that certainly peaked the last couple of years, don't look quite so intense at the moment, not be managed by, hey, let's, you know, bring people home or bring people back to teaching? Are you wary of what you might call a sort of a patch-up approach? And do you believe the ministry is heeding those concerns?
Look, we're working really, really closely with the ministry around the whole supply issue. It's in two parts. There is the short-term fix, and we do need a short-term fix, but there's also the longer-term attracting quality people into education. And that's got to be a longer-term strategy. We have to look at remuneration. We have to look at conditions. We have to look at elevating the perception of teaching as a career in society. One of the challenges that happens is that we can't see teaching as something that you dip into and then head out of. We run the risk of losing a lot of institutional knowledge on training a whole lot of people up and then suddenly they leave and do something else. We can't have that that moving in and out. We have to have some longevity in the profession in order to make sure that we retain a quality education system.
Thank you, Stephen Lethbridge with the Auckland Primary Principals Association. Let's bring back Deirdre Shea, of the president of the Secondary Principals Association. Is there more pressure here on numbers as the year begins, Deirdre?
It's an interesting one, Catherine. It's, some issues are the same as what Stephen has described in the primary sector, but others quite different. And I guess I would refer specifically to a survey that we did in December in conjunction with some queries that the Ministry have. As Stephen said, we're working with them too around the education workforce strategy. And at that stage, 60% of the secondary school principals who responded said, look, we've found this an easier time than we've had for some time. We've got no vacancies and things are looking good. 40%, however, were not in that position. 25% had one vacancy and the rest had 2 to 5. So the issues for secondary are largely around subjects that have traditionally been difficult to fill, as well as particularly some more isolated communities around the country have different issues from being able to recruit in the urban areas. So it's some similarities, but some real differences as well.
The 15% looking for 2 to 5, that's quite serious. Again, is there any sort of pattern to this situation?
Very much so. So technology. You will not be surprised to hear that. So 20% of the vacancies that were cited mid-December were around technology teachers. And the challenge there, of course, is that for many areas of technology, particularly if you're talking hard materials, it's difficult to become a teacher because the traditional way of being qualified in that area is not getting a degree. So it's a real issue. It has been for a very, very long time, but it's getting worse. And of course, at the moment, we can't fill those gaps as we usually do with overseas trained teachers.
Do you think at the moment there's been some buffer of protection this year of people who may have been thinking, I'm out of here, frankly,
absolutely,
holding on because of the uncertainties?
Absolutely, Catherine. I think there's three things that our members are citing. One is exactly that. Fewer staff are moving. Teaching is a great place to be, and people are staying. More people are staying in their jobs. Of course, for many secondary schools, there has been a reduction in staffing for 2021 because of the reduction in international student numbers. So that's impacted across the board as well. Not for all schools, of course, but for many. And the other one, which you've already mentioned, is about people who are returning to teaching. And we have examples of that with people who Kiwis have returned from overseas and returning to teach here. But also, of course, people who have returned to teaching from another role that they've been in prior to this. So it's a short-term fix. We're very clear about that. And it isn't across the board. We've still got issues in hard-to-staff subject areas and in particularly in more isolated areas.
Well, look at those hard-to-staff. Te reo we've already mentioned. Maths,
yes.
Physics, technology, the STEM subjects, the 2021 subjects. And in your conversations with the Ministry, I presume this is an ongoing project looking at workforce.
Yes.
How is that being come at differently? You mentioned a lot of the ways that people who might be able to teach tech enter is not traditional. It's not by doing a 3-year degree in a year in a teacher training institution or teacher training course. Is there an open mind to looking at things differently in those specific subjects?
There's two answers that I'd give to that. First of all, there is an understanding that in many instances, schools will be employing people who are not trained teachers but who are trained in that area. And we employ those teachers on a limited authority to teach. There is some financial support for that from the government as a short-term fix. And what we're all hoping, no, that's not fair. What most of us are hoping, I think, is that in the not too distant future, there'll be a way for those folk to be supported, to train, to be teachers. At the moment, the collective agreement under which teachers are employed requires folk to have a degree. So there's a collective issue there.
Yeah. I'm thinking also of the dollars. And in those particular subjects, you could be earning double or treble or more.
Absolutely.
In the private sector.
Yes.
So you don't want to be left with the people who aren't up to jobs elsewhere. So let's just talk really bluntly. So what's the best solution to the quality of person that you need and then the fundamental teaching training that they need while perhaps utilising some of the talent that's out there, or just accepting these people might want a different path into teaching?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's where the employment-based teacher training programs that are on offer. You still have to have a degree, but there's an opportunity, I think, for those to be reconsidered. So Teach First has been around for a number of years, very successful. People can come in to teach while they're training for 2 years and, of course, be paid. Not paid well, but paid, which makes a big difference. There's a new program this year through the University of Waikato, which is similar, and the approach is, again, train on the job. And I think there's a huge demand for a different approach, as you say, that has been recognised by the government with a different offering for universities in particular to opt into in the last year or two. And what I think everybody is hoping is that there'll be more creative ways of training people to be teachers.
It's a sensitive issue. I quite understand why it's a sensitive issue for those who do the 4-year route and then don't want to feel like they're second best or someone, and also sensitivities around the actual fundamentals of how you teach. But are you sensing more open-mindedness than perhaps there's been previously around this as to finding a logical solution and one that meets everybody's perspectives?
There's a lot. Yes, I do. I believe there has been huge discussion around this particularly over recent years, because we have been living with, particularly with technology and, as you say, physics, chemistry, math, te reo Māori for so long now. The shortages, they're not going away. They're not predicted to go away. And so something has to change in order for us to teach our young people well.
I don't want to be ageist, but I'm tempted to know how old the oldest math teacher is in the country, because I know people in their 70s who they are not allowed to leave.
Yes, absolutely. A number of our members have reported that. Look, we've advertised positions. We can't fill them, particularly in those areas. And so we've chatted to a person who has retired and they've agreed to come back on a short-term basis. This is not uncommon.
Can you quantify the impact the loss of a significant number of international students has had on jobs? I'm sure people have been moved, quite possibly, into many other positions. But what's the actual number of teacher positions gone as a result of that?
I don't have a quantity to put on that, Catherine. I don't have that information. But for, as you will be aware, for some schools, it's absolutely significant in terms of numbers of staff. And for many secondary schools, it's certainly made a difference in terms of what they're looking for 2021. The corollary, of course, is that it has eased the situation of shortage.
Look, I thank you both. It looks like things overall are looking less desperate, perhaps, than in recent years, but still real issues of or areas of concern. We've heard those from you this morning. I thank you both, Stephen Lethbridge and Deirdre Shea.